Welcome back to That's Cricket. Today we have a very special guest, my oldest American friend and the Reverse Scoop host, Nabil Khan. How are you, mate?
Good, bro. What's up, Adam?
It's good to have you on. It's good to be back chatting, man.
Absolutely, man. It's an absolute pleasure to come back on That's Cricket. Thank you for inviting me. And I know we've done a lot of chats on our Cricket Weekly on the Reverse Scoop. And, you know, it's a new for me for the first time from this perspective, but awesome and looking forward to rocking and rolling and discussing some cricket, my friend.
Yeah, roles are reversed now. But oldest friend, the quick story is that we played cricket together in 2016 in America in New Milford, Clatter Valley Park. And then we separated from seeing each other for many years until another mutual friend was like, hey, I know a guy that does cricket. I was like, I know that guy. What are you talking about? I know that guy. Yeah. and now we're back here chatting cricket. So we're going to get straight into the T20 World Cup news. Big news hot off the press. Pakistan boycott India. India, man. Game. Bro, what's going on, bro? What's happening here? Come on, tell me what's happening.
You're putting me right on the spot right from the get-go, man.
Under the gun, bro. Come on, let's go.
I know, but we're gonna try and answer this question because, I think it goes far back, you know, what's been happening between Pakistan and India. It's not just a one-time match. It's been, I think, building up since 2012. And even before that, since, you know, India and Pakistan hasn't had any bilateral cricket, they haven't had any test cricket amongst them, they haven't gone to each other's countries to play any ODI or T20 cricket. So I think it's, you know, obviously it's political. The region is, you know, filled with politics and kind of back and forth bickery. And the region's kind of known for that, but before it was at least controlled with proper governance through the ICC and through, you know, proper leaders. Right now, I think the bigger problem is that the ICC leadership has kind of taken a big hit, you know, where, you can see a bit of biasness, you know, looking at from a total neutral perspective. We've seen a lot of different things happen over the years. And I think this is what's led to now, you know, where Bangladesh's knockout was kind of like the knockout punch where Pakistan found some leverage to say, hey, we can actually do something about it now. We haven't had any leverage for years against these guys. They've bullied us for the past 12, 15 years. So now why not? If we can take a cheap shot or take a dig, let's do it, you know? So I think that's where it's really driving from, where they felt bullied and kind of constructed the last 15, 20 years or so with international cricket and the exposure. And now that they saw a chance to kind of, you know, hit where it hurts, I feel like they took it. So, and, you know, some people are saying it's just a propaganda. They may just call it back and they may just go play the game. But I think they're going to stick to their guns and boycott this match.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the dumbest thing ever. I think, yeah. I don't understand why you would do this. There would be no better feeling for Pakistan than to beat India. I mean, I agree. Pakistan beats India, that's the biggest knockout punch you could ever throw, right? Yeah. That would send everything into a spiral. Like that would be absolutely insane right now for that to happen. And Pakistan have a chance to beat India. I mean, anything can happen in T20 cricket. No Harris Rauf to spoil the party for Pakistan. I love Harris Rauf, my guy. But has, you know, had some death over blunders that have cost Pakistan some wins. And, you know, against USA, against India. And, you know, Pakistan, you know, like I said, ICC obviously lean with India. That's how this works. Bangladesh, kind of on their own accord, you know, because they claim that it's their, you know, they're not going to be safe over there. And it's not the first time someone's done that. Australia has done that before in the past. But, you know, they claim that there is no threat to Bangladesh people or the Bangladesh team in itself. Could they got it together and played in Sri Lanka? Maybe. Maybe they claim it's not enough time.
Yeah, I think the bigger problem there is, right, they said the vote was 12 to 2 when it came to the ICC voting. And when they, you know, asked if they should move Bangladesh's matches to Sri Lanka, that was what they took the vote on. Should they move the matches? But what was not set to those board members were the preliminary conditions when it came to everything else behind the scenes, right? Where Bangladesh Cricket, you know, had put in for a request to move their matches. And, you know, they had essentially asked ICC that, you know, since you said BCCI took out Mustafizur, you can't protect a Bangladeshi player. So we're not comfortable sending a team out there, which is not a situation much different than 2025 Champions Trophy, where India refused to travel to Pakistan, right? And they said, oh, we can hold their matches in UAE. Fine. You know, that's where PCB kind of found leverage to say that, hey, there's double standards going on here. You know, you did this for X nation, but you're not doing this for X nation because they're part of the big three. The big three, you know, command most of that revenue. So if you're making decisions based on revenue instead of what's fair and what's right and what's wrong, that's where the bigger problem is with this entire thing. And that's what they're trying to highlight, the structural damage and the fracture that's done on the ICC level governance, where, you know, you see a lot of the biasness go towards the big three. It's very obvious as a cricket fan of any nation, you know, that they are kind of, you know, given extra, you know, advantage. You know, India, when they played their matches in UAE for the Champions Trophy 2025, they didn't have to travel anywhere. They didn't have to move from their hotel rooms. All their practices was in the same place. They played all their matches in the same ground. That's unfair advantage, right, when it comes to doing all these things. So I feel like, you know, the problems are much bigger. It's to highlight actually what's wrong with the governance today, where, you know, 80-90% of, you know, the cricketing bodies would agree, but they're not as powerful to speak up because obviously they rely on ICC revenue and ICC funding. And even this decision by Pakistan, it's not good in terms of, you know, helping global cricket in a sense that they're going to be receiving funds, because they're probably going to lead to countries getting the funds kind of cut on their end. But I think it's a short-term, you know, loss they're looking at for a long-term gain. That's how they're looking at, but it's all political. You got to realize as well, there's a lot of, you know, elections going on in Bangladesh and in India, and Pakistan is in a turmoil with the political landscape. So a lot of it is propaganda, and cricket's become a tool for that for these people. So
yeah, and it's hard for Americans to get their head around, because like we don't have cricket here as a like a number as a peak sport that's like dominating. There's other things that roll, and we in cricket world we're dealing with countries, like countries and governments are dealing with like how cricket is run, and we can't just play cricket. Like that's just the unfortunate thing, is we can't just all get along and play cricket. There are politics involved. Which really suck. But the other thing we have going on for Pakistan right now outside of this is Tariq getting done for chucking, or essentially trying to get done for chucking by Cam Green and Cricket Australia. I made a video on this. It's popping off right now talking about the action. He's clearly not a chucker.
Yeah, I think it's unfair. I think it's truly unfair when you call somebody a chucker for being unorthodox. You know, like you can look at his action, you know, clip by clip, or, you know, maybe on slightly on his wider arm delivery that he slings, you can see a bit of an angled arm, but I don't think it's going beyond 15 degrees. And that's the only delivery. The rest of his deliveries are fine. There's a bit of pause. But the one that he got Cameron Green with, which was released with a wide angle, you can see a bit of a bend there, but I don't think it was 15 degrees. But again, they can test him. He was tested in Pakistan after he was called in PSL two times. So they tested him in Lahore, which is an ICC-proof facility. But again, it was a Pakistan laboratory because he was cited in a PSL match, not in an international match. So unless they cite him in an international match, they can't really take him to London for independent testing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an absolute joke. I mean, so he has two elbows. Looking into it now, he has like a disjointed elbow, which has two kind of
parts. He showed it on a video.
Yeah, I've seen the video. And he explains that he can't fully extend his arm straight. It literally won't lock like a regular elbow. There's no hyperflexion backwards. And so the action is His arm is extended as far as it can with a less than 15 degree bend, and then he slings it. So he's locking in the elbow, locking in the shoulder, rotating over his front leg, kind of like Lasus Malinger is the best way that I can explain it.
Absolutely.
And then when he comes with that lower sidearm, the wrist is flexed up, which makes it look like a baseball throw. But when you slow it down, there is no bend. There is no straightening of the arm. It's just he's rotating around. Same with another one I looked at is Sean Tate. Sean Tate used to bowl with a kink in his elbow and roll over the top.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean that he chucked. Because you think of, like, Bumrah has the hyperflexion elbow. So his arm is reversed. It goes from straight to bent. It actually bends backwards.
And it's that looks way worse than what they call Usman Tariq for, right?
Yeah, way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse. I mean, he gets more than 15 degrees of backward bend on his arm when he releases his ball.
Way more, yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's Australia clearly couldn't face spin. I think they're going to have a terrible time in India and in Sri Lanka playing. Pakistan have absolutely rolled through them. Like Pakistan smashed Australia three times in a row.
Yeah, I think Australia were obviously giving chances to some guys, right? Like this was in the top tier. Australian team that we're used to seeing. They were missing a Glenn Maxwell. They were missing a Josh Hazlewood in there. They were missing Tim David, I believe, in there. Yep. Another player. I think there was four or five players that are going to be starters in that lineup.
Yes.
That were not part of that team. So I think it's fine. You know, I don't think we need to look too much into those games. You know, it's a confidence boosting for Pakistan to beat Australia and whitewash them, you know, and it's a record breaking win for them. No doubt.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. But I think it has more to do with, as you said, their ability to, you know, obviously play spin. And I think Australia leaving out Smudge, you know, is a big loss, you know, for
you hit not the nail
for,
on the head.
For Australia, but the world cricket, you know, because I think in Indian conditions and in Sri Lankan conditions, he's a player who commands a lot of respect the way he plays spin. And it's a big miss, I think, for this World Cup for Australia that an experienced player like him, you know, couldn't find a spot in the squad. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it's a master stroke by the Australian selectors, you know, that we've seen in the past. I mean, we've seen him take chances in the past.
What are you talking about, Nabil? What are we talking? What do you mean? What master stroke? When has Cricket Australia ever made a good decision that made them good? When? Tell me, explain. I was just about to say that's right.
For a reason, man. They're seven-time champion for a reason because of their ability to identify who's going to outstand in the pressure. Maybe their skill is not fully there. But those guys, when they come through in the big moments, you know, that's what makes Australia, you know, great because they're clutch when it comes to winning big games.
Nabil, have we forgotten ICC T20 World Cup 2024? Have we forgotten this moment? Have we forgotten when the Cricket Australia took out Mitchell Starc against Afghanistan and Australia lost to Afghanistan? Oh, we're going to put in Agar. Need a second spinner. Oh, and then they couldn't get the Afghanistan opening partnership out, and then they lost their ability to go to the finals.
Well, what happened about that? Perfect, about that, right? I mean, I would gladly switch places with you with Pakistan and Australia and say that out of 100 decisions, I get at least 90 right and 10 wrong, where Pakistan has the opposite end. You know, they'll get 10 right and 90 wrong, so.
I like living on the edge of Pakistan. I like living on the edge. But
unpredictability, man, at its best, you know?
But I think you hit the nail on the head. This is why I have you on. Steve Smith, the disinclusion, not including Steve Smith in Australia's T20 World Cup squad is the absolute biggest farce ever in cricket history. This morning I went through the stats. Steve Smith is the best in-form cricketer right now in the T20 globally. Let me run you through. If it wasn't for Steve Smith, who would you say is the best in-form batter right now? Do you have any names you can think of? Anyone?
Somebody that hasn't been selected in a T20 squad?
No. Someone that is playing. Anyone?
Someone that is playing, it's probably what I would have to say one of the Indian players, maybe an Ishan Kishan, you know, who's
been on
the roster.
That's why I have you on, Nabil. Ishan Kishan.
Yeah.
He is at an average right now. He's averaged for the past seven games, 59.1 at a strike rate of 209.
Beast.
He is crushing it right now. He just took New Zealand apart. You want to know what Steve Smith average and strike rate is?
It's probably somewhere in the 50s and like 200s.
Steve Smith is striking at 59.8. So he's 59 for Ishan Kishan is 59.1. Steve Smith is 59.8. So he has a slightly higher strike rate, or you say the same average. His average is, Ishan Kishan's average is 59.1. Steve Smith's average is 59.8. And Kishan is striking at 209. Steve Smith is striking at 263, right? So they're all, they're in a similar ballpark. And I'm going to throw another name out there. Finn Allen, who I would claim is the other third best batter right now globally.
In form.
He is averaging in his past seven games 54.4 as his average and striking at 186.
Wow.
So Steve Smith is in the same wheelhouse as Ishan Kishan and Finn Allen, but not included.
He's the best, let's say, T20 batter in Australia, in the entire country, and he's not in the squad.
Hands down, the best batter.
He's the best T20 batter in the country. Why would you not take him with you?
Bro.
Like, it's mind-boggling.
I don't understand, because you think about, if you go through the Australian lineup, right? Travis Head hasn't played a T20 since God knows when. He played the one Pakistan or two Pakistan games, didn't get any runs.
Yeah.
You're going to go, Stoinis is coming off injury. He had an injury. He was a little something through the Big Bash, but did play Big Bash. Tim David coming off an injury, started the Big Bash. He was in the ILT round, you know. He did that very well. But they had an injury during the Big Bash, hasn't played for a while. And then big news, Cummins is out of the squad. Cummins out. Yeah. They're going to bring Ben Dorchus in, okay? Yeah. He does pretty well. Stark has retired from T20 cricket, so he retired since the last round of World Cup. And then Hazelwood has just been announced this morning out, and they're going
to
bring Abbott in.
Sean Abbott to cover
for
him.
Abbott's going
to
come in. So, like, what is this? The Australian team is essentially a team that just faced Pakistan. Pakistan rolled over them, and they brought in another Renshaw as kind of like the backup opener to Marsh.
I'm not sure why he's in that squad.
No.
I mean, I'm not sure why he's in that squad, and who's going to be batting at number three or four for Australia?
Cam Green, who can't bowl.
Travis Head's going to open with who? Who's going to open?
It's Head and Marsh. Mitchell Marsh. Travis Head, and then Cam Green will be in at three.
So they're bringing Cam Green at three. So,
Josh Inglis will probably be Josh Inglis, I would say, as keeper. Maxwell to come at five. Stoinis, Tim David, Cooper Connolly, and then Ellis, Zamper, and then I guess Dorchus would be somewhere pushed into that order. I've just changed the order. And they're
even Smudge in there at four, man. You got to fit him in and get
gotta
somebody
fit
out.
Him in. You got to fit him in. I don't understand why. They brought the Australian cricket team brought Renshaw in for the ODI squad pre-Ashes and then left him out of the Ashes team, even though he was scoring hundreds for Queensland. And then he goes, plays Big Bash, scores 100 for the Big Bash, a big opening stand, you know, a mammoth record opening stand. But I don't understand why you would disinclude Smudge. And then back on to Pakistan, I'm going to go, which is the smarter cricketing nation? They may be boycotting the India game, but Smith just gets picked up by the PSL.
Oh, yes, the Alco Stallions.
Smudge just picked him up. They just got picked up Smudge for the PSL. So, Pakistan on to something.
Australian owner-owned team, actually. He's a Pakistani guy, but I believe he lives in Australia, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
The owner of the Alco Stallions. And so the coaching staff and players, you'll see a lot of influence from the Aussie side in that team. Tim Payne, as you said, was announced captain, coach of that team. Smudge is the first signee to play, you know, overseas cricket with Sialkot Stallions. They already signed him for the upcoming season. So, there's going to be some good bit of influence from Australia coming into Pakistan and to the new team, Sialkot Stallions. So good luck to them in their new season. And, you know, it's going to be a nice season. Should be eight teams this year. And, hopefully, you know, they're able to attract some more top-level talent into the tournament to, drive more success for them. Cause it's, you know, it's been losses for them too, through first 10 seasons for a lot of the owners. They haven't really made as much, you know, money as they thought they would, but they keep going strong, you know, they're doubling down on it. So,
yeah. I mean, you got other news like Jason Gillespie got signed as a coach over there with the Hyderabad squad. In the PSL. So PSL, you do getting smart, getting off of those Aussies, getting Steve Smith. I think, and I have Australia no chance. I have Australia no chance of winning this T20 World Cup. I want to get into some upsets and like the predictions, see what we can come up with for the T20 World Cup. I have USA beating Pakistan again. It's just, it has to happen. It has
to happen. I don't think it's happening. all right, let's bet $10 here, right?
No, I don't think we can. I don't know if we can get. Can we gamble on the stream? I don't think we can gamble on the stream.
I don't think it's happening.
Shut it down. I don't want to get demonetized. Shut it down. Nothing happened.
All right,
but you think you think Pakistan's going to win this game?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think it's in these conditions, it's not going to be easy for USA. They have some good spinners, and you know, with obviously the USA team now also kind of going through a bit of, you know, a time, obviously with Aaron Jones, you know, being taken out for you know, match fixing allegations or whatever.
Yes.
So that in itself, I'm not sure how the team is being impacted. The guys look good and focused. They recently played a match against USA India A, and you know, did pretty well. I mean, they went for 238, but still managed to score 200.
Yes,
Krishnamurti looked amazing, and Krishnamurti was crushing guys. It.
While we're on that, yeah. So they had 238, 239 was the chase. I was one of them to score 200 runs. I think the biggest thing for me is can they score the runs? You know, yeah. I think they were giving everyone a go in the bowling department. They bowled. Everyone, the whole team bowled. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bowlers. Everyone had to roll the arm over. Sound like under 12s. Everyone gets a go. But you're gonna see Netravolka. You're gonna see Ali Khan. They will dominate in the pace department. You're gonna have Kenjige. You're gonna have Harmit Singh. Okay, but this is where for me it gets a little like, who's the other bowler? We had our mate Shadley. He had a go. Yeah. You know. Go hit around, but you're gonna get hit. It's
and Jesse Singh has been you know, hit around as well.
Gonna get hit. Problem is,
I feel like they're missing out an option here. You know, and I'm just gonna throw it here because you know Aaron Jones went out. You know, why didn't we bring in a guy like Stephen Taylor in the squad, right? Stephen Taylor is somebody who can dominate at the top of the order, who gives you 4 good overs with his off spin bowling and economical. You know, that was a guy that we needed to think about bringing into this lineup. I'm not sure where his fitness is. I'm not sure what, you know, where he's at with it, but maybe something to look at for USA cricket. But, you know, yeah, Aaron Jones is a big miss for them. I think he was by far one of our most talented batters who can, you know, dominate in you know, mid to late innings, you know, after 10 overs. You know, but now we rely on other guys, you know, hopefully guys like Sai Tejamukamala, you know, can perform at that top level, and Milind Kumar has done a bit, you know, some good, and the captain Monank Patel has done his bit. Andres Gauss is in good form, you know, so these guys are in decent bit of form, so they can definitely upset, you know, Namibia and a few other teams. And with now the boycott, you know, they have a bit of an advantage where Pakistan is just gonna give those points away, so it opens that group up a little bit. But again, I think Pakistan is coming in with a different outlook than the 2024 World Cup, because if you watch the previous two series, a lot of their forms are hitting their top level form right now. If you watch those games closely, their bowlers, their spinners, their batters, they're actually working like a well-oiled machine. So I think we're going to see a different Pakistan team this T20 World Cup, especially in these subcontinent conditions. They're going to go out there, fight, and I think they have a semifinal, you know, berth to the taking here. If they're, you know, kind of go through the processes and don't think too much about, you know, the noise that's going around them. So, but yeah, they have a chance, and USA has a chance too if, you know, Pakistan shows up with their unpredictability thing. You know, you never know still. So,
yes, I think looking at the lineup for Team USA, I think the big thing was, how do you fit Aaron Jones and Sai and Mukamala and Milind Kumar all in that like 3-4-5 kind of
position? And Shayan Jahangir, we haven't even named.
Oh, and Father Shai as well. So I think I'd rather have Father Shai in there. Yeah. I think when you have the guys, like if you go bottom up, like obviously Jesse Singh has to be included because he's a vice captain. You got Netravolka, Ali Khan, and then you're going to have Harmit Singh. There is a reality where you sneak. Maybe don't go Kenjige, or you keep Kenjige, you add Father Shai in, Shadley misses out, or someone else in the middle order misses out. I think you can definitely
have 3 quality spinners on those pitches, man. At least 3 quality spinners.
Yeah.
And if you're lacking, that's why you need all-rounders who can ball spin. One of the reasons why Pakistan brought back Shadab Khan over a guy like Sufyan Mukim, who's a Chinaman, who's a 10x the bowler of a Shadab Khan. You know, like when you talk, you know, apples for apples, leg spin for leg spin, Sufyan Mukim is a next level Chinaman bowler, right? Who's got all types of variations, but Shadab Khan brings an element of batting with his leg spin, even though he's not as great of a spinner as Sufyan Mukim, but he makes the team on the ability to be able to score a 20 ball 40 like he did in the last match. You know, I think that's what teams really need nowadays instead of like specialty big time spinners. But still, we need somebody in the top order to be able to get some good overs of spin. That could be Milan Kumar, perhaps bowls a bit of overs. Harmeet Singh needs to bowl well. I think he went for a ton in two overs last match. Kenjige only bowled an over in the last warm-up match, went for a ton. So I'm not sure what kind of pitches, you know, they're going to get, if they're going to actually will help them, how slow they will be, how much they will turn. But I think quality spin would be the key advantage for any team in this coming World Cup. So
yeah, and for the non-cricket fans that just heard the phrase Chinaman, that means a left arm leg spinner. That is a leg spin bowler. That it's a left armer. It's a very unutilized terminology, but it's still there. Yeah. That's the official.
People don't know about it.
That's the official word. That's the official terminology for a left arm spinner. Like I think of Brad Hogg. Brad Hogg, good old. Brad Hogg, classic, exactly. Classic. What else we got? So we're going to get into our back into predictions. Your predictions here, upsets we can have here for the World Cup. I have my big Nepal. Nepal causing some upsets this World Cup, Nabil. Yeah. Nepal. I think they.
That's have a hot take, man. Hot I think take. They will. They got a lovely fan following.
The best. I'll give you the best fans. Cricket, man. Yeah. The best fans, it's, Nepal.
It's awesome, and I definitely want to see them progress and do well. You know, so their crowds can get some, obviously, some much needed love and some, you know, funding can go there to, you know, grow the cricket in Nepal. They got a great fan base. So
yeah, Nepal right at this point have the second most ticket sales for matches for this ICC T20 World Cup, and behind India.
Nepal fans.
Behind India. Now, obviously, it's location, like it's a good location. Yeah. But Nepal fans come out. Nepal plays cricket. Nepal fans come out. Their NPL is on the rise. It's up in that like top six, top five. You know, revenue over there. They're getting a lot of action over there for that tournament. And I think they have a real chance. They've got Dynamite Singh, one of the best all rounders in the game out here. I think he's going to cause some trouble. I have them upsetting West Indies again. In the West Indies again. And going really close with England. I think it might be it'll be a really close England match. So I have Nepal beating the West Indies. In other big upsets, I've got Zimbabwe beating Australia.
I don't think that's going to
happen. Come on. What about Raza? I want to see Raza take four wickets. I want to see Raza take five wickets. That,
but I think Zimbabwe's still got a long way to go. They have a few players there, Sikander Raza, Kramer. You know, a few other guys in the middle. I'm not sure if Brendan Taylor is still there in this squad, but yeah, I think they're a team to, you know, kind of be wary of. You know, you don't know what Zimbabwe can bring to the table. It's a T20 cricket. You still need to be able to come up with your best game against all sides, rather it be Scotland or Zimbabwe or Nepal or, you know, teams that look like they could be a bottom ranked teams. Usually those are the teams that come up and upset you. So I think there's no, you know, no kind of room for error here and no room for being complacent.
Yes.
For any teams. It's probably going to be the most, I think, competitive World Cup that we've seen so far.
It's going to be crazy. Like even just think about now, Italy has won a game against Italy's in this World Cup. They just beat Scotland. Canada, they beat Canada. They beat Ireland. They have a chance. I don't think they're going to do too much damage. But I think Italy could get one upset, which could throw some things. My also a big upset is every man and his dog thinks that South Africa has a chance to win this thing again. You know me when it comes to South Africa. South Africa they're not winning this thing. They're not winning this thing. Even with the inclusion of Rickleton
They're a dark horse. They're definitely a dark horse type of a side. In this World Cup, kind of like Afghanistan, you know, I think Afghanistan is going to go under the radar here. But I think they're a team that, you know, can come and beat any team because of the strength of their spin department and the ability to kind of just fight it out, right? They have that mentality to never give up. So they get a good, you know, value from guys that are not really high of like huge quality, but they'll get the best out of them to kind of put a team together. So I think Afghanistan is another one, you know, there that's going under the radar, and South Africa, you know, they're potentially a top four team, but
people would say yeah. They're a top four team. I say New Zealand and Afghanistan beat South Africa. That's my other hot take. Yeah. Is that New Zealand?
New Zealand's coming out of a tough series with India right now. So,
but no, Finn Allen.
What confidence level they're at?
Finn Allen didn't play in the first four games. He played the last one and scored 80. So of 46 or whatever. So I have with New Zealand at full strength with Timmy Seifert, with Finn Allen. I think they can do some big damage. Yeah. Against South Africa, they do some big damage against Afghanistan, and I think it's going to be the toughest pool. They have Afghanistan, New Zealand, and South Africa in that pool. It's not an easy road for South Africa, and if other World Cups are anything to go by, if, you know, South Africa can fumble the ball for sure.
They always do in the top four, man. Semifinals, finals, you know, they'll do that. But like, I think you know, something may have changed after that World Test Championship. You know. Credit to, you know, the legendary Bavuma.
Bavuma.
Put them on the map with that leadership role and finally won an ICC trophy, you know, and brought her back to South Africa. So maybe the monkey's off their back. Who knows, you know, with that World Test Championship. But I think the subcontinent conditions is really what's going to drive the results here, you know. So I'm definitely seeing India in there. I'm definitely seeing Pakistan in there. My third team would probably be Afghanistan if they're in there somehow.
Yeah, they'll be in there.
You know, they're all subcontinent heavy teams with great spinners. And all you need to do is find top four teams with the best spinners. More than likely will be there at the end of
the game. Sri Lanka with a Hasaranga gets some work done.
Sri Lanka could, you know. I mean, it's possible, but Sri Lanka's has struggled, you know, for quite a bit. So you know, they may find it tough, but maybe in Australia or New Zealand or South Africa, you know, makes up the other four or other two. But I think I definitely see India, Pakistan, you know, in the top four, especially now with all the buildup, you know, with the first match boycott. Now imagine the second match, they go back and say, hey, all right, now we'll play you guys in the semifinal. Just the hype of that particular match and the value of it would just skyrocket. Right. Yeah. So maybe this is all a plan, you know, for them to skyrocket like a, you know, value of a playoff match.
Well, it is a gamble because they have to guarantee they beat USA. They have to guarantee they win against Namibia. Yeah. They have to guarantee a win against Netherlands for them to go through. And then you would have to say that would be mathematically impossible because that means USA would have lost. And if USA would have to have beaten India and Netherlands and Namibia to kind of go through. So we'll see.
Sri Lanka's weather is up and down. They're saying it may rain. A lot of rain-affected games in Sri Lanka, you know. Ooh. Even on the day of the boycott, February 15, they're saying it could rain. So even if India shows up, the points may split.
Points. You know? Wow. I wasn't even thinking about splitting points.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Anything can happen.
If it rains out, then it could happen.
Anything can happen. Wow. Let's imagine that. Let's imagine India gets washouts. Imagine if India gets five washouts and USA gets like two wins and overtakes them. Wow.
There's a chance. So luck's gonna play a part for sure in
luck.
This tournament.
Luck will be the 21st man in this in this tournament. Sure. So Nabil, thank you so much for being on That's Cricket, my friend. Great to have you back. I'm great chatting with you. You're gonna do the signature sign off. You're gonna give me a That's Cricket.
That's Cricket.
Perfect, guys. That was it. That's Cricket team. See you in the next one.